This morning's scripture reading is from John 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 28 in the NIV version. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Holy One, giver of life and light, as your word is read and proclaimed, illumine our hearts and minds that by the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives may reflect God's glory. Amen. Well, if you can believe it, there's only one short week left to wait, and I don't know about you, but I've been running around trying to make sure that my to-do list is up to date, crossing things off, adding new items. I was searching my house for literally half an hour for trying to find the wrapping paper that I was sure that I purchased last January because it was 50% off, and tape. There is never, ever, ever enough tape. And in the midst of sorting through the gifts that I've accumulated throughout the year, I've purchased or I've made, I was also in the back of my head thinking about these three services that are coming up this week, the scriptures and the themes and, all of that sort of stuff. And I realized that, maybe I might be concentrating on the wrong things. I've been scurrying, not waiting. And the gathering, the decorations, the presents, those are all culturally important, and I'm pretty sure you think that preparing worship is essential. But I really realized that my focus was attuned on my preparations, instead of waiting for Christ. And my waiting is turned into scurrying. And instead of looking forward to the manger, I've been more focused on just checking things off. So we're at the tail end of Advent. And we feel like, it's getting closer, but in church, it doesn't really seem like we're that much closer to the Christmas story. So far, our scriptures haven't directly mentioned Jesus, and today's no different. Instead, we're continuing with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist's identity is still a little confusing. In the other Gospels, John is specifically named the Baptist, or called the forerunner of Christ. But But in John's gospel, he's never labeled as such. His only function here is to witness to Jesus Christ. John himself is not the Word or the Logos. He's not the light or the phos of God. He's not here to compete with the Word coming into the world. He's here to bear witness to it. But there are some people who had a really hard time distinguishing John's testimony from what Jesus would come to do. And there are even some archaeological and historic texts showing some ancient sects favored John over Jesus. But this gospel is careful to point out John the Baptist's place was high, but it was definitely subordinate to Jesus. But we might be able to make a case that John was Jesus's doppelganger. So doppelganger is a German word. It literally means double goer or double walker. And it usually means a person who looks very eerily like you, but they're not a twin and they're not even a relative. I am continually surprised by the niche research topics that there are out in the world, and would you believe that there are scientists who specialize in this doppelganger phenomenon? So the research that I've seen or and found, they compare groups of doppelgangers to people who look alike that are not related, and they compare them with groups of genetic twins, and they measure the facial features, like how far apart the eyes are, how wide they are, their shape, the nose, how far out it is, what kind of a slant it has, the lips, and the ratio between the upper and the lower lip. And they measure all of these things down to fractions of millimeters to determine how similar these two people are in a mathematic sense. Now, there are some researchers who say that statistically, there is a 1 in 1 trillion chance of randomly walking into someone who has the same exact eyes, nose, mouth, forehead as you. All of those things at the same time. Even though statistically exact doppelgangers are a low probability, still not impossible, people, we, perceive faces much differently than rulers and calipers. We tend to gauge the face as a whole rather than by their individual parts. And we take into consideration things like mannerisms and styles of dress and speech patterns, things like that. So we're more likely to notice doppelgangers and see them as such than these researchers are. How many of you out there are familiar with Will Ferrell? I figure that most of you know who Will Ferrell was. This next one is going to be a little harder for you, I think. How many of you are familiar with Chad Smith? That's a harder one. Yeah, I know. I knew you would be. Chad Smith is the drummer for the band The Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Chad and Will look remarkably similar. A lot of folks were confusing them, and I'll admit that if I was out and about and I happened to see either one of them with no context, I might have a hard time figuring out who was who. I would be over the moon, like fangirling, if I met either one of them. Red Hot Chili Peppers had a big part of my life as a teen in the 90s. So Will and Chad decided to have a little fun with the way that they look like each other. You can see them here. They're on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. They're sitting side by side, and they go back and forth from accusing each other of being the doppelganger to pretending to be the other one, trying to switch places. They've had a few friendly drum-offs to see who the real Chad was. And surprisingly, Will Ferrell is not a terrible drummer. He is no Chad Smith, though. So we don't have any images of Jesus. And the only descriptions of John are of what he wore and ate. So we can't really say that they have similar features like Will and Chad. And that's why they were confused with one another. But the actions and demeanor of Jesus and John were certainly comparable. People were flocking to John. They were listening to his words about the one to come, and they were learning how to prepare. But John didn't conform to those usual standard understandings of a priest or a preacher. He wore really strange clothes, and he lives off the grid, and he was telling people some really weird stuff. And all of that stuff combined made the religious leaders a little nervous. So the religious leaders get there and they ask John, "Who are you?" And the first thing that John says is, "Well, I am not the Messiah." Even though no one actually asked him if he was. The Greek word I is stressed here, and we can tell because of the position in the sentence. I am not the Messiah. But if you only knew, the Messiah is here. Okay? Well then, who are you? Are you Elijah? It was, and it is, Jewish belief that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will return to herald his coming and prepare the world to receive him. "I am not," John says. All right, are you the prophet? If it wasn't Elijah coming to prepare people for the Messiah, the thought was that the greatest of all prophets, the prophet par excellence, would come. Nope, that's not me either. And the Pharisees must be pretty frustrated at this point, and they're like, "All right, so you've told me who you're not. Who are you?" And John replies with a quote from Isaiah. "I'm nobody. I'm only a voice telling you to get ready for the coming of the king." Uh-huh. You're nobody. Then why do you baptize? And John responds that his actions are merely testifying to the one who is to come. And as disciples, we also testify to the coming of Christ. We can be doppelgangers of the doppelganger. Just as John knew who he was in relation to Christ, we also must claim our identity, especially remembering who we are not. We are not Elijah. We are not the prophet. We are not the Christ. But we are witnesses to the Christ. We are not the light of Christ, but we are called to reflect it. And we reflect it through our lives and our actions and the way we treat other people. When I was in youth ministry, I one time gave out these small handheld mirrors, like a compact mirror. I handed those out to the group kids, youth kids. And if I had thought about this more than a week ago, I would have gotten you all some mirrors too. But my invitation to them was to be like John the Baptist, to be doppelgangers, to always reflect the light of Christ in the world, to be those little doppelgangers that make people think for just a split second out of the corner of their eye that they saw Jesus. We can't walk on water or give sight to the blind. We cannot raise the dead. And in those ways, we will never be mistaken for Jesus. At the same time, we don't reflect Jesus when we try to control or coerce, con, charm people to try to convert them. We do, however, make decent doppelgangers when we show our love and compassion. When we seek justice and equality, when we support and empower, when we're present and we truly listen, we can be doppelgangers. Thanks be to God. Amen.